The grandkids. We're good to go.
All right. Well, first of all, everybody, welcome to our July 27, 2022 meeting. It's a pleasure to see everybody, and I wanted to start by thanking all of you, both the members and the staff, for all your support of Judge Conklin and me from the last council meeting. The July meetings are always kind of the budget meeting. It's the first, of the fiscal year, and having all your support and help was really helpful. So thank you for that. And welcome. The meeting is open. This meeting is open to the public, and we are recording. We are doing this meeting virtually. Members of the public are allowed to watch the meeting via listen-only video feed. They cannot actually jump in and speak. I'm going to ask Judicial Branch Budget Committee members and any others who are presenting to us today or answering questions for us to please remain muted until you're actually presenting, and then remember to unmute yourself just before speaking. And then when you're done speaking, just remember to mute yourself again, and this way we minimize background noises and your pets going crazy and whatever else may be happening. Also, that was weird. Also, if you could just identify yourselves when you're speaking so that people know who can't see you or are in a, in a place where they don't have access to video but just audio, they know who is actually speaking. With that, let me ask Ms. Cohen to take the role.
Judge Rubin.
I am here.
Justice Mormon. Judge Mormon.
Judge Mormon is not with us, but she'll join us when she can.
Judge Botke.
I'm here.
Justice Fujisaki. Justice Hill. Judge Hopp.
Here.
And Mr. Harrigan.
Here.
Thank you. We have six of seven members, so we have a quorum.
Good news. All right. So the first order of our business is to take care of our minutes from the June 28 meeting. I was wondering if people had a chance to review those, and if so, might there be a motion?
Harrigan moves approval.
All right. Do we have a motion, Harrigan? Is there a second?
A second hop.
Thank you. Second hop. All right. We have a motion, a second. Is there any discussion? Further discussion, I should say. All right. Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstain? All right. Motion passes. Thank you. All right. Today we have the meeting is bifurcated. We have the open session, and we have a closed session coming up. So let's first see, was there any public comment for this meeting, Ms. Cowan?
There is no public comment.
All right, that does conclude the public comment portion of this meeting. So we have two issues to discuss. We have in the open meeting, we have the AB 177 allocation methodology, and then after that, we have the FMS work plan update. So just as a kind of flyover, the Budget Act includes, it was recently just passed, 10.2 million in backfill on fines and fees, and the recommendations at page 6 of your materials. But let me ask Judge Conklin and Ms. Tuck if they'd like to give us an overview of the tick back recommendation on the AB 177 methodology and maybe a little bit of how it came about.
Judge Rubin, thanks so much. Good afternoon, everybody. So Judge Rubin's flyover was very accurate. This is a backfill of fees that were eliminated. It's just another allocation methodology to help the courts understand and receive those funds. And rather than confuse you any further, I'll turn it over to Oksana so she can give you the details. Oksana?
Thank you, Judge Conklin. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Oksana Tuck, Senior Analyst with Budget Services. This report is to assist the committee in its discussion on the trial court Budget Advisory Committee, or TICBAC, recommendation on an allocation methodology for trial court backfill funding related to the repeal of fees authorized by Assembly Bill 177 to be considered by the Judicial Council at its September 20th, 2022 meeting. Effective January 1st, 2022, AB 177 repealed trial court authority to collect certain administrative fees that were for the recovery of costs associated with various administrative activities performed at the court, making any unpaid balance unenforceable and uncollectible, and requiring any portion of a judgment imposing the fee to be vacated. Judicial Council Budget Services staff surveyed trial courts in February and March 2022 on total fees charged by the trial courts for activities for the eliminated code sections from 2018-19 through 2020-21. Reported revenue only included the amount retained by the court for its administrative costs and excluded fees or revenue collected by the court and passed on to the county, or fees retained by the court for the collection of any county fees. Budget Services staff, in consultation with the Department of Finance, adopted a methodology recommendation using the average of 2018-19 and 2019-20 revenue collections, as outlined in Table 1 on page 6 of the materials. Due to the impact of COVID-19 on trial court operations, the revenues collected in 2020-21 were excluded, as they were not typical compared to revenue collections during the prior two pre-pandemic fiscal years. The proposed allocation methodology is outlined in Attachment 1A on page 7 of the materials, which represents TICBAC recommendation to approve a two-year average breakdown by court for revenue collected in 2018-19 and 2019-20, and then proportionally allocate the remaining funding resulting in an annual backfill appropriation and allocation amount of $10.3 million. That concludes our presentation, and we will be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Oksana, thanks so much. So this is a relatively straightforward allocation methodology for you. Again, it's from my perspective, more good news for us, and it's the efforts of Martin and Budget Services to get the money to sort of fill the gap from fees and fines that we're losing. It's ongoing funding, so it'll go throughout. John's with us for any further comments. This was a unanimous recommendation to you from TICBAC.
Right, I think it's important at least to note that we were also working in conjunction with DOF on this and consulting with them on that. Mr. Wardlaw, do you want to maybe add anything?
Thank you, Judge. No concerns on this end. It's, as Judge Conklin indicates, pretty straightforward. As you mentioned, we worked collaboratively with the Department of Finance on this. All good.
I'll entertain a motion.
I would move approval.
All right, thank you. Justice Hill moves. And is there a second?
Second, Bodke.
Bodke seconds. All right, we have a motion by Hill, a second by Bodke. Further discussion? I guess all I wanted to say was great work to the TICBAC team on it, and good work working with our partners over at the executive branch on getting this done. All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, abstain. All right, it passes unanimously. Good work. Good work. All right, let's talk now about the FMS work plan update. And I think we have Ms. Allen with us to provide us with a recommendation in terms of updating the work plan. Is that right, Judge Conklin?
I'll turn it right over to Michelle. Rebecca, who's the other co-chair of FMS, could not be with us today. Michelle's just going to update you about the most current work plan. Michelle?
Good afternoon. Michelle Allen with Budget Services. The Funding Methodology Subcommittee, or FMS, made updates to its annual work plan, which directs the subcommittee's efforts in developing and refining the workload formula, as well as other methodologies. The Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee approved the recommended updates at its July 18th meeting for consideration by the Judicial Branch Budget Committee. The recommendations include moving two existing work plan items to the 2022-23 fiscal year. The first is a review of the Judicial Council provided services versus those provided by trial courts, in which Judicial Council staff will begin researching internally and bring that information back to the FMS for further analysis in determining if any recommended changes are warranted. The second item is court interpreter program funding, which was pushed out while the ad hoc interpreter subcommittee continues to develop a workload-based allocation methodology for 2023-24. Next, item three was separated into two parts and moved to 2022-23. First, separating the reevaluation of the cluster system would provide time for the new Data Analytics Advisory Committee, which is assuming the work of the prior Workload Assessment Advisory Committee, to be established and allow time to consider the impact of new judgeship funding provided in the 2022 Budget Act on court's cluster placement. Then, separating the review of the base funding floor process would provide time for options to be developed and for the FMS to consider providing these eligible courts with inflationary increases similar to all other courts. Item four, tracking the work of the Family and Juvenile Law Advisory Committee on the implementation of an allocation methodology for the AB 1058 Child Support Family Law Facilitator Program was removed as this has been completed. Lastly, a new item was added for 2022-23 to evaluate the Workload Formula Adjustment Request Process, or ARP request, that was submitted in January 2022 in alignment with the ARP policy. We're happy to answer any questions as the committee considers the recommendations that begin on page 9 of the materials.
Any questions for Ms. Allen or Judge Conklin? I know I have one, but I'm just one. Well, let me ask mine and maybe others can think of theirs. And maybe Ms. Allen or Mr. Wardlaw can answer this. By pushing out some of these projects, are we going to miss any opportunities or deadlines in terms of funding or anything like that?
I don't anticipate that would happen. For instance, the work of the Court Interpreter Ad Hoc Subcommittee is in alignment with the policy to get the current Judicial Council policy goes through the end of 22-23. So that work aligns with us coming in to a new methodology effective 23-24, as well as the other work that we have on our calendar.
Okay. All right. And in terms of our relationship with DOF or legislators in their budget committees, we don't raise any eyebrows by readjusting our timeframes, Ms. Allen or Mr. Wardlaw.
I would defer to Mr. Wardlaw on that, but I don't anticipate.
Yeah, thank you, Judge. I don't see any concerns with the exec branch or the legislature on this, the timing here.
Right, I'm not saying we wouldn't do it anyway. I just want to make sure I know. If I'm driving into the chop, I just want to know. All right, any other questions? All right, seeing none, if you're not going to ask a question, then maybe you could make a motion.
Fujisaki, so moved.
Thank you, Justice Fujisaki.
I'll second.
And thank you, Justice Hill. So we have Justice Fujisaki's motion. We have Justice Hill's second. Let's go further discussion. Any? All right, hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? All right. The motion passes unanimously.
Thank you all very much. Appreciate it. And I want to again acknowledge the work of all the groups above and FMS as well for their work through TICPAC that comes to you. Thanks, everybody. It's good to see you.
All It's outstanding to see you. You can go tend to your jury. All right, that concludes our open meeting portion. Is there any? Our next open meeting is Wednesday, September 21, 2022. And before we adjourn, is there any open meeting good of the order before we go into closed session? Does anybody have anything they want to bring up in the open meeting? Looking around, I don't see anybody. All right, let's go into closed session.